Good morning. I guess it's still 1 minute to noon, so still morning. Word of God today comes to us from Proverbs 16, verse 32. I'll read it for you. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. We are continuing with the spiritual sculpting series. Our church embarked on this journey of making a missional church. It's a fancy word, missional, but all that it is that we want to go back to the basic of what church is all about. We want to really focus not on this all these extras that we can do, but on the basic of saving lives and saving souls, that God calls us and God sends us into the world. And in order to go into the world, we need to be equipped. We cannot go empty-handed. As the great preacher D.L. Moody said, out of 100 people, one will read the Bible, 99 will read the life of Christians. So instead of people turning to the Word of God, they're going to turn to the Christians and see, what have you got to offer? Let me see what your life is all about for me to really decide whether I'm going to follow Jesus or not. So we have a great responsibility of going into the world, not empty-handed, but with something. And so we're going through a series of sermons on spiritual sculpting on the nine fruit of the Spirit to be equipped. The Bible says you will receive the Holy Spirit and you will receive the power from Him. And what kind of power is that? Power to love, power to rejoice, power to have peace. And today I'm going to be sharing with you something that is very strange to us, patience. We are not very good with patience. Because we live in a very fast-paced, cannot wait, we need to have it right away kind of world. Young men came to pastor and asked him, Pastor, can you pray that I may have more patience? And the pastor began to pray, Lord, let this young man have tribulations in the morning, and in the afternoon, let him suffer, and in the evening, and at that moment, the young man stopped the pastor and says, Pastor, I wanted for you to pray for patience, not for tribulations and sufferings. And the pastor said, patience is developed during the tribulation and trials and hardship, not during peaceful times. It's so true. If we were to kind of practice patience, we cannot do it in a peaceful time, in a very normal time. When hardship strikes, when the storm strikes our lives, that is a time that our patience is developed and tested. We know that patience is a virtue that we're supposed to strive to obtain. Yet when we are called to bear patience, we find it difficult to practice it. In fact, we seem to refuse. Being patient is difficult because there is an outside force calling for my forbearance. It could be a tough situation. Difficult people, even a simple annoyance. Yet Christians, we're told that we must bear the fruit of patience. Patience is hard to practice when things are going well. It is a virtue that can be demonstrated during the time of affliction and hardship. How about you? How patient are you? We're going to take a little test of your patience. I'm sure as I'm giving this sermon, you're not very patient about this sermon and says, when will it end? I hope it doesn't go over 30 minutes because my patience runs out in 25. Well, how do you know if you got patience or not? How do you handle these things? First, how do you handle interruptions in life? How do you react to the plan when your plans and schedules are interrupted? When you're having a nice dinner and all of a sudden spam call rings and bothers you and then interrupts your dinner, interrupts your time with your family. How do you deal with the interruptions of every day? Well, Jesus had to deal with the interruptions. Disciples stopped the children coming to Jesus because they were interruption to Jesus, his ministry. But Jesus welcomed them. Let them come because I want to welcome them. Kingdom of God is for these kind of people, like children. You have to be like them. He didn't consider it as an interruption. Many parents, including myself, when our children were younger, we had this disciples mentality that children are nuisance. They interrupt adult stuff. When adult guests are over and children are nearby, we don't want them to interrupt us. And when they come and interrupt us, we kindly show them, you know, okay, adults are having conversations, so you need to kind of leave us alone. And if they continue to do so, then our patience runs out, and then all of a sudden, harsh words comes out. We're not very good with interruptions. How about inconveniences in life? How do you handle inconveniences that is caused by mistakes of other people, by unforeseen force of nature? How do you react to the voice that comes through the intercom? Your flight has been canceled. I was on my way to Alaska to lead a retreat. I went to the airport, and they kept on delaying it, and finally, the message came. Flight's been canceled. I was not only annoyed, but angry. And I asked God, how could you? I'm not going for vacation. I'm not going to Alaska for myself. I'm going there for you, and you are inconveniencing me for me to come all the way to the airport. And I was waiting and waiting, and now you cancel it. And now the church that is waiting, as soon as arrived, the retreat was going to start. Now they're going to lose one day because next flight is next day. And then I saw another guy. He was really, you know, waiting to go. And he portrayed behavior that was kind of violent reaction to the news. He started cursing at first and throwing his luggage on the floor. And he almost had a physical spasm. And he was yelling at the person who made the announcement. What did that person do wrong? You know, just announced that the flight is canceled because of safety reasons. And he just lost control and realized that we are not very good at handling with inconveniences in life. We live in a very microwave age. We have lost the meaning of waiting. We feel like waiting is wasting. Wasting my time, wasting my money, wasting my energy. So we're not very good at waiting. Along with the advancement of technology, it made it even harder. You know, we're very good at just adapting to the environment. And we like this fast-paced life, especially coming to East Coast and going to Manhattan. Everything speeds up. I mean, I think people are on their steroids or something. You know, they don't stop. They just run around like a chicken with the head cut off. The name of a game is, you know, move fast, instant. Fast food is the food that you need to take. You cannot take slow food. You got to go to the fast food restaurant. And now I went to just one Mexican restaurant. It says, your order is to be delivered within 3 minutes or it's free. Within 3 minutes, they get the food ready and it's out. Makes you wonder what are they making in 3 minutes? I thought the promise of fast delivery totally goes against the teaching of patience. We love instant food, don't we? I like instant curry. It comes in a pouch, and you don't even have to make rice anymore these days. They have already made rice. All you have to do is pop it in the microwave and heat it up. And the curry comes in a pouch, everything in it, meat, vegetable, curry, everything in it. All you have to do is heat it up in the hot water and then pour it on the rice that is ready-made. You can have your curry rice ready within like about 3 minutes. That's fast food. But if you really know where curry comes from, curry takes time. Without patience, you cannot make curry. Curry, this is how it's authentic curry is made. After all ingredients are cut, dried, ground, chopped, diced, then cooking process begins. It takes a long time. It is not made on furnace. It is slowly simmered in the buffalo chip fuel. You know what buffalo chip fuel is? In India, they dried up cow dung. And that use that as fuel. And when you heat up the food with the cow dung dried up, aroma from that cow dung goes into mixing with the curry and it gives a brand new flavor. And it takes a long time to make it. It makes you think twice about having curry now, huh? That's how it's made. That's how curry is made. You cannot have curry without patience. We're so used to fast-paced life. I mean, even your swimsuit, it's called Speedo. You know, what is that? You swim fast if you wear that? You know, gonna change oil? It's Jiffy Lube. Do it in a jiffy. One burger, in and out. You don't have to wait, just in and out. In Korean, they call it Tulangnalak burger. We cannot wait for Telegram to come. We need Instagram. Just do it fast. You know, even the Power Rangers, they have to go, 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 Power Ranger. You know, just You don't get it, Power Ranger? Okay, that was a little too much. We have this distorted mentality that the faster I run, more lively I am, and more successful I'll be. So anything that gets in the way of that speed, we want them to be removed. And already, just word patient, patience, that goes out the window because we're so used to moving fast. When God says, wait, we cannot handle it. You see, God has a way of answering all our prayers. In fact, God answers 100% of our prayers. You may not get the answer that you want, but he answers them in three ways. He says yes to our prayer sometimes, no to our prayers, but the hardest answer is wait, wait. And you ask, next question you ask is how long? How long do I wait? Well, until I tell you it's done, you wait. And we just cannot handle the answer of wait. And how do you handle irritations? What is your pet peeve? What bothers you? What irritates you? Well, slow drivers irritate me. And they're in the fast lane. I hate it. Palisade Parkway has two lanes. They should stay on slow lane if they're going to go slow. Why are they in the fast lane and going slow? I'm going like 65, which I'm breaking the law. But they're going like 55. They should move aside, but yet they just choose to go slow. And as you're driving by, you want to check out who they are. Just look at them and then see. Just hoping that it's not a church member. We have pet peeves, don't we? We have like things that bothers us. That's you know, people who spit while they're talking, signaling left and turning right, people who squeeze a toothpaste right in the middle. Direction of toilet paper should be over the top, not under. Some of these irritations are controllable, but these things bothers us, and it really kind of tests our patience. Moses, one day, he was irritated by the behavior of his people. God's been providing all things throughout the wilderness life. Yet, one instance, they were just complaining so much and Moses was fed up. His patience ran out and he just blew his top. And as they, were wanting water, he took his staff and then struck the rock in anger. And because of him losing his patience, he couldn't go into the promised land. Harsh punishment, isn't it? He was just watching people go into the promised land, and he couldn't go because he lost his patience. We may not be used to the patience that the Holy Spirit is talking about, but this can be a game changer. It can be a matter of you whether going into the promised land, enjoying the benefit that God is providing or not. We all have pet peeves, and sometimes it tests our patience, and sometimes it's irritating. But then we do not want to sin in our anger, and in times such as these, we need patience. And some of us do not handle inactivity well. Even though when I go to the doctor's office, I'm called patient, but I'm not very patient. I don't like to wait. If my appointment is 2 o'clock, I want to be seen at 2 o'clock. If 2:15 comes, I'm not very patient. Wasting my time. We don't like to stand lines at the supermarket. You chose a short line, but then it doesn't move. Then you get angry. Did you know some of us don't like to wait in red lights? I don't like to wait either in red lights, especially here in East Coast, there's a lot of signal lights that says do not turn on red. What's up with that? In California, everywhere you can turn on right. But here it says do not turn on right, and there's no cars and can't turn. And it takes a long time for the red light to change. Did you know you spend 6 months of your life sitting at the red light waiting for it to change to green? And have you noticed that when the light turns green, if you don't move within 2 seconds, guy behind you turns red. Isn't it interesting that we admire patience in drivers who is behind us, but not the ones who is ahead of us? My wife called me out on this one. She says, we were in Manhattan, And there was a guy who was letting other cars in. He was in front of me, and he was being generous, letting all the other car in. And I said, what's wrong with him? What I'm trying to point out is that we're not very good at being patient. Yet, God requires his children to bear fruit of patience. In fact, in some translations, this fruit is considered, is called long-suffering. Even if it's difficult, even if it requires for you to suffer, if it's annoyance, if it's, you know, irritation, inactivity, whatever it is that bothers you, that tests your patience, God is saying you need to have it because the world doesn't. You see, we need to have something that the world doesn't have so that we can offer it to them to impress them and to really say, our God is a wonderful, great God, able to do the impossible. How can I develop patience in my life? Well, first of all, we need to have a change of perspective. Find new way of looking at situations or persons that is giving you problems. When we're impatient, we are busy looking at why? My needs, my desires, and my goals. And what I believe becomes a standard. And if people or situation doesn't fit into that, then we become judgmental. We become angry. What does it mean to change the perspective? It means that, you know, if we look at the perspective of Jesus. How is Jesus looking at the situation? There was a bracelet and all these people used to wear WWJD. What would Jesus do? You know, it's talking about looking at the perspective of life from the perspective of Jesus. What would Jesus do with that person, with that situation? How does Jesus look at us? Well, Jesus looked at us as imperfection. Did you know that? You may think you're pretty perfect, but Jesus says, no, you're not done yet. You're being still being made in the likeness of Jesus Christ, but you are far from it. It doesn't matter what kind of title you hold, you're still far from it. We're like a big rock that Jesus is chiseling away in order to sculpt us into his masterpiece. The truth of the matter is, we're not done. God is not done with us yet. We're still being made in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Because of sinfulness, we lost the likeness, so we are recovering. We're trying to kind of being remade into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's how it looks at us. So that's the kind of eyes that we need to have in order to look at other people. To be more understanding, if there are people who are giving you trouble, well, because they're still being made. They're not done yet. They're not finished yet. They're still immature. They're still sinful. That's why. We are very gracious to our children, aren't we? In fact, the younger the children, more patient we are. You know, a child is supposed to be immature. You don't say, how come you're not mature? You know, you're two. You know, act like, you know, two-year-old, be mature. How come you cannot talk like I do? What's wrong with you? You are like 2.5. How come you cannot run like I do? When we become the standard and look at our children, then we cannot help but to be critical. But children will be children, and we get down to their level and to their understanding, and we embrace them. We love them. That's what we do. That's what Jesus has done to us. When we're yet sinners, he decided to die on the cross for us. That's what he did. So we need to have a same perspective in life, not being just like the rest of the world, where we get irritated with the same things. We do. I get irritated when I stand in long lines. I get irritated when people don't move fast enough when the right light turns green. We do. But then right away, I confess and turn around. Proverbs 19:11 says this, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Men's wisdom gives him patience. Wise men has patience. Foolish men don't. Today's passage is just that. You know, today's passage talks about better a patient man than a warrior. Warrior has every right to exercise whatever. You know, he can take people's stuff. He can really punish people. But it says patient men is better than warrior. Patience is better than warrior. Warrior have all the right and they can do whatever, but the patience is better than overcoming and being victor. And the man who controls his temper than the one who takes a city. When you take a city, you feel like you got it made. But it is saying that it is better to have a control over your temper. Some people say that they have explosive personality. They just blow up. You know, just they just have this temper issue. They just blow up. And one time I heard this Gwonsanim say, oh, that person's everything's so great. Everything about nothing to blame except he has temper. Just sometimes he blows up, boom. But then afterwards it's clean. Dynamite blows up. And afterwards it's quiet. But when it explodes, it does a lot of damage. Person may have everything together except the temper. That temper can destroy whatever the person has built. Whether that may be a castle, that may be whatever that person has built, temper has a way of destroying everything. God, He is patient with us. And His patience is not a passive patience. It's very active. How active is it? He waited, then He sent His Son Jesus Christ to us to resolve the problem. Biblical patience is not lethargic or apathetic or indifferent. It is not the attitude of whatever will be, will be. Biblical patience is taming the beast of the burden under control. It is seeing the difficult situation and looking for solution. Whatever God or the world has thrown at us, we look for ways, how can I make this situation so that it will bring glory to God and benefit to other people? We don't just wait idly doing nothing. Just as Jesus, while He waited for us to come back, He decided to come to us and to die for our sins. We are called to do the same. Patient man portrays maturity. Proverbs 14:29 says, a patient man has a great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Patient man has a great understanding, is a very wise person. You know what the sign of maturity is? Maturity knows how to wait. Have you traveled with children? Long distance? What is the word that you hear often? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We just left home 5 minutes ago. We still have to drive 8 hours. Are we there yet? You asked 10 minutes ago. And why? Why are they so impatient? Because still immature. If we say that we're mature, we know how to wait. Have perspective of God and of Jesus. And second thing that we can do in order for us to really develop patience is this. Learn to laugh. You know, we're too serious. Our life is so short and people are so serious. They look like they just got stabbed and walking around as if, you know, life is over. Don't. Laugh. God has given us many different emotions, and we're very good at using the emotion of worry and being anxious. But we're very kind of stingy about using the emotion of joy and laughing. Abraham Lincoln was asked during the war, how do you handle stress of civil war? And this is what he said. If it hadn't been for laughter, I could not have made it. Just laugh it off. Laugh it off. The Bible says a cheerful heart is a good medicine. Good medicine. Cheerful heart is a good medicine. Have a joyful heart. This too shall pass. I knew this one elder. He was a second-gen elder. He graduated from MIT, and he had a great job, and he decided to start his company, and it just went belly up. And he was like, kinda, you know, not very happy about it. And I said, you know, let's have lunch, and we're having lunch. And he said, you know, in the beginning, he was like sad, and he was depressed and all that. But now he realized this too shall pass. And he was laughing. This too shall pass. Well, I learned one more way not to do a certain way when I started a company. He had a very positive perspective. I mean, he just was, you know, able to laugh it off. So learn to laugh. If you can't laugh at it, you can live with it. So laugh. I like the picture of Jesus smiling, laughing. You know, there's a lot of portraits out there of Jesus, but this one portrait of Jesus laughing like that, I love that picture. I wish we would have that kind of attitude. Instead of going through life serious and always looking anxious and angry, just laugh. Cheerful heart is a good medicine. And always depend on the Lord. Patience is not merely a matter of a human willpower. It is a fruit of a spirit. So you can ask God for this patience. You don't try, okay, I'm going to be patient, even if it kills me. That's not patience. Patience is not saying, you know, he doesn't irritate me when deep inside you are really thinking, I hate that guy. Patience is not wearing a mask and pretending that everything's okay. Patience is a form of faith. We need to make a declaration that in my life, God is bigger than my problem. God is greater than the person who makes my life difficult. It's just making that proclamation of God is bigger than what I'm going through. That is the greatest way to develop patience. So we need to ask the right question when hardship strikes, when tribulation and suffering strikes. A lot of times we ask the question, why? Why God? Why? That's a wrong question. When you ask the wrong question, you're going to get the wrong answer. The right question is, this happened to my life. So what can I do in order for me to really bring glory to you, even in situations such as this? Even when I have to deal with person such as that person. So we ask the question not why, but what. What can I do in order to be like your child? You see, God has a way of using people who have patience. Throughout the Bible, we find characters who had patience. Do you know who was the best doctor in the Bible? Job, because he had the most patience. Sorry. Just tried to wake you up. I don't mind if you fall asleep during the sermon because, you know, I feel like, wow, they must be so comforted that they're able to sleep. I don't take offense in it, so. In the Bible, God uses people who are very patient. Noah, he began to build ark in the mountain. Imagine the ridicule that came from the town people. Noah went cuckoo. He finally lost it. He's building an ark on top of a mountain. That's crazy. You know, he's so young. He is crazy. You know how long he heard that ridicule? 120 years. 120 years before the rain began. Abraham, he heard from God, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Your children shall be like the stars in the sky and like the grains of sand in the ocean. Shall be that many. Amen, he said. You know how long he waited until he turned 100? Moses, he lived 40 years in Egypt, 40 years as a shepherd. And he wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. He could have made it so much quicker. You know, within weeks, he could have gone to the promised land. But he just wandered. God made wander all around. Just tested his patience in the wilderness for 40 years. Hard thing for Christians is to wait for God's plan to be revealed. When we have our own schedule and our own plan. When these get interrupted, do not despair. Because God has a greater plan for us. God has a great things waiting for us. Just remember that God is not done with us yet. There's an old children's song. I don't know if you heard this song. I love the lyrics. It's called, He's Still Working on Me. It goes like this. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. God is still working on me. I'm not a finished product yet, so be patient with me as I will be patient with you. We have a great product to take to the world that the world is not very used to. They don't know what it means to wait. They don't know what it means to really wait patiently. But we have something great to offer them. So friends, God is shaping and molding us into his likeness. He waits for us to really mature and to be like him. So I challenge you to be patient as God is patient with you. Let's pray. Lord, we lack patience. We feel like we're wasting our time and we're failing when things don't go our way, when our schedule and our plans are interrupted. Teach us how to be patient, for you are still waiting for us, even though we sometimes walk away from you. When we are just turning you away from our schedule and lives, you still wait for us to come back. Lord, we want to learn from you. We want to be like your children who resembles the Father. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't we all rise and sing the last song together? God, thank you for calling us to be here today. Whether we're worshiping here or online, we want to be true worshipers, worshiping in spirit and in truth. And as we worship you, we come not empty-handed, but we offer our offerings to you. For we want to proclaim that you are our master and we are your servants. that we are stewards, managers of all that you have entrusted us. May we continue to live our life for us to be conduits of your blessings to other people. I thank you for being our God. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, abounding love of God, and continued fellowship of the Holy Spirit may be in each one of us from now and forevermore. Amen.